You know, that's what we need, is to be more aware of His presence. I'm speaking about that this morning. Tracy didn't really know when she chose that song. But the truth is, if we're a believer and believe God's word, He is omnipresent. He's everywhere all the time. And so, as Bishop T.D. Jakes said, he said, I never come into the presence of God because I never leave the presence of God. He said, I dwell in His presence all the time. So wherever you go, He is there. He is with you. Emmanuel, one of His names. God is with us. And so if we could just learn to become more aware, more sensitive to His presence with us as a lifestyle. And we've been talking about that this month. You know, October is special to me. It happened years ago when God did something wonderful for me in October. It lasted all month long. And so this year I've issued a challenge to you, the whole church, an October challenge, to let's set this month apart and give special emphasis, personally, individually, to draw closer to God. In fact, that's been our theme verse, James 4:8, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Now, the truth is it would work any month of the year. It would work every day of the year. The reason it probably works in October for me more than other months is because I expect to draw near to God in October, and I expect Him to draw near to me. Faith expects. So every time the calendar rolls around and October is here, I expect that month to mark my life. I expect a refreshing. Now we should learn, I should learn to expect that every day, every month of the year. But thank you for joining me this October and drawing near to God. We've talked for three Sundays now. This is our fourth and final Sunday in October, about our personal maturity and our growth in the Spirit. I've mentioned that we should feed our spirit every day before we feed our body. Wouldn't that be great? We're only as powerful in public as we are prayerful in private. And many of you have commented to me and told me in person, on the phone, or by email, some of the things God is saying to you this month as you've accepted the October challenge. What we've tried to do is this month break the cycle. The cycle being religious. The cycle is that, oh, I have a full week, a full schedule, it's heavy, I'm so distracted, I can't wait for Sunday morning to get here again. I so need to feel the presence of God. I so need to hear from God, oh, come on Sunday morning. We're breaking that cycle because we need to hear from God individually every day. Every day. Don't lay it all on the pastor to hear from God for you. I have a hard enough time hearing from God for me. But of the many of you who have shared testimonies with me of how God is drawing near to you this month, one lady in our church, and I won't call her name only because I want God to bless her, not to me to rob her from the blessing He has for her. But, hey, Carl, she wrote this to me. I had to let you know, October is very special. The Jesus Calling book you recommended. What a blessing this book is. I love it. The journal, because I've encouraged you to keep a journal this month. Write down what God is saying to you this month. Because you cannot improve what you do not measure. So keep a journal. That works all the time, not just October. The journal, Well, that was much harder for me to get my brain around. I had the mindset that only super spiritual people who were much closer to God than I am can write in a journal. My next excuse was I would have nothing to write. But I started anyway, and it has been amazing. amazing joy, amazing grace, amazing calm. Even the mornings I pick it up with nothing in mind to write, the Holy Spirit will lay something on my heart. I will pick my Bible up and a word will just blow me away. Thank you for the encouragement to start the journal. Then she said, I've included a copy of Dancing with God. Don't know if you've ever read it. It meant a lot to me and I thought you might like it. Well, I'll share that with you in just a little bit. But a real letter from one lady in the church of how October is making a difference in her life. And I hope that's your testimony. Now it's the 26th. Time is running out, but it's not too late. If you've not had an encounter with God personally, privately, just you alone with God, you can still do it this month. But you'd better hurry. Today, I want to speak about divine romance, the power of His presence. There's something about our relationship with the Lord that is romantic. When He overwhelms us with His presence, when He so meets with us and lets us know how much He loves us, and He pulls the best of love out of us toward Him. I don't know if you've ever been in love, but I can't think of a greater way to describe the relationship between us and the Lord. It is a romantic adventure, and it's divine. And our theme verse for the month, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. You know, it's easy to hear from God anytime, but for me, especially October. Why? Because my faith is there. I expect to hear from God in October. And this past week, without this person knowing what we're doing here, this person is a friend of mine, lives in another city. In fact, it's Philip Miles. He's a good friend of mine and a fellow pastor. Pastors Christ Community Church in Myrtle Beach. He's spoken here before. He is the son of our bishop. And I have to be careful saying that. Some of you are shocked. Some of you woke up right then. I said, son of our bishop, Houston Miles. This is Bishop Houston Miles' son, Philip. Philip was on worldwide news just a few years ago because he was arrested in Moscow, Russia, on a mission trip. I've been with him to Russia on mission trips before. And Philip's an honorable man, a great pastor, loves God, but he was wrongly imprisoned in Russia and spent 6 months behind bars. And the world news organizations followed his story. He's been out now for a few years. But out of nowhere this past week, Philip shot me a text. And he said, Carl, I'm reading Psalm 73 again. He said, especially verse 28, he said, that's the verse that kept me going when I was in jail in Russia. And I looked it up, and I'll give it to you now. Philip Miles, it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord. That means a lot to me and to you, but imagine how much that verse meant to Philip. For 6 months, he read that verse every day. It is good for me to draw near to God. Listen, the presence of God can even find you in a prison. It doesn't matter. He will invade your space if you'll give Him the green light. If you'll draw near to Him, He will respond by drawing near to you. And for Philip to find himself in jail, and he thought he would be there 3.5 years. That's what his sentence was. But to every day realize, I'm in jail in Russia, but it's good for me in this jail to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord. And so that kind of a relationship, as we develop it and bring it to maturity, it takes time and it takes both partners wanting it equally, but there's a divine romance that's a part of our spiritual adventure, and please don't miss out on that. Sometimes we only have a relationship with God to help me, fix me, deliver me, rescue me, give me a breakthrough. when it shouldn't be limited just to what we need. One person wrote, and I think it's a good quote, "I stopped demanding that God fix the problems in my life and started to be thankful for His presence as I went through them." Mama, we have the Holy Spirit who's moved into our life, and He will help us through every challenge we face. And so how wonderful it is this month to do what you got to do, whatever you got to do. Don't let October 31 roll around and you be in the same place spiritually you were on October 1st. You don't have to do that. Take the first step. It's our scripture verse this month. You take the first, you draw near to God. Take that first step. And when He sees you get this much closer to Him, He will respond by getting this much closer to you. I mean, He will overwhelm us. It goes back even to the Old Testament, the premium that God's people should place on His presence. In Exodus 33 and beginning at verse 14, "And God said to Moses, 'My presence will go with you and I will give you rest.' Then Moses said to Him, 'If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here.'" Now that was an Old Testament leader. He didn't have the Holy Spirit living inside him. Imagine how hard it was for Moses or anybody before Christ to connect with God. Moses had such limited understanding. Literally, he walked up to this mountain one day. All he could see was a mountain. It'd be camp meeting, but it really wasn't. Even though great ministers were there, and it was 3 days. Everybody was selling their TV shows or whatever. But the president would come every year and speak at the NRB prayer breakfast. So for 12 years, I saw the president, whoever it was during the, but at a distance. He was way over there. I couldn't smell his cologne. I didn't know if he was wearing Oscar de la Renta or Elizabeth Taylor for men. I don't even know if that's a thing. I could barely see him. He was way over there. It was like 3,500 people in this big thing, and everybody got security checked. And, you know, finally, everybody standing on their feet, they'd announce the President of the United States. It was always 8:30 in the morning. And he would come in just time enough to speak. I saw Jimmy Carter, I saw Ronald Reagan, and I saw the first President Bush during those 12 years. It was always in Washington, D.C. When the President of the United States walks into a room, it don't matter whether you voted for him or not. There's power in the room, and all eyes are on him. It's the office that he holds. Now, I never got to shake his hand, never made eye contact with him. I was afraid to try to push that envelope. I was afraid they'd probably put me in the insane asylum for acting that way. So I just stayed in my place. But when he walked in the room, you could tell it was like electricity. And when the presence of God invades our life, it leaves a mark. It's undeniable. We should be more aware of His presence than we are. How can Jesus walk for 7 miles all day long with people and them not even be aware He's with them? How sad is that? Here's another thing that happens in the presence of the Lord. Times of refreshing. Many of you need that now. We're in October. It's time to be refreshed. Times of refreshing. In Acts chapter 3:19, it gives us that promise. Times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. Listen, your story's a lot like mine. But there have been times in my life I've been so drained, so depleted, so exhausted, both physically and spiritually and emotionally. I mean, I'm not the superhero you think. That was supposed to be funny. I'm sure nobody thinks that. I'm just like you. Times Nobody could help me but God. Times that I've been so burned out and exhausted until I would find myself in the presence of God and refreshing would take place in my spirit. That's available. You can get a refreshing in the presence of God you can't get at McLeod Health Spa, and I'm all for McLeod Health Spa. I'm all for, you know, anything that can refresh you. But there's no refreshing for the believer like finding yourself in the presence of God. And multiple times, it says times plural of refreshing. You'll need it more than once in your life. It's the go-to place for refreshing and rest is the presence of God. And then what else can happen when you're in the presence of God? Storms raging become calm. You know the story very well. The disciples in a boat crossing the sea. And a storm comes up, like a hurricane. And the boat is tossed in the storm, and the disciples are afraid that they're going to die. Fear of death. You ever been there? Fear of death because of a storm, spiritual or natural. And the thing that made the difference is when Jesus walked into the picture. He came walking on the water. Oh, he came to them in a different way than they had ever seen him come before. But no matter how he gets to you, he can defy natural law if necessary. No matter how he gets to you in your storm, when he shows up, it becomes calm. That's what happens in the presence. Why would we not live there all the time? Why are we unaware 6 days out of seven of the presence of God? Why do we live so far beneath the potential of enjoying a divine romance with the Spirit of God every day? Here's what I'm trying to do. Now, I'm not perfect, and I don't ever plan to be perfect short of divinity. I'll be perfect same time you will be when we see him. Now, he gives us glimpses of him. And so we are a work in progress, but when we see him, we will be like him. But there have been times in my life when storms are raging, I thought this was it. It's been a good run, it's over. But I'll find myself in the presence of God. Try to do it every day. Now, here's what I'm trying to do. I'll just be real with you. Maybe it will encourage some of you who are not doing it, and some of you out there are more advanced than me, and that's all right. Be patient with me. I'm catching up. Others of you may benefit by this, but I try in the mornings before I get out of bed. As soon as I'm aware, I'm awake. As soon as I'm aware, I'm awake. Before I get out of bed, I want to locate the core of my spirit, and I want the witness there that, oh, yeah, okay, I'm in the presence of God. He's not left me. I'm still here. And if there's a storm brewing, I want to stay there long enough to feel the calm take its place. I mean, you can do that in the presence of God. There they were by themselves. Now, they were hanging out in a cluster. There were 12 plus anybody else that was on board. I mean, they were in a group, but Jesus was not with them. Jesus was at a distance, and the storm was threatening their life. Some of you may be there today. In fact, some of you may be facing a storm in the house. Your house may be divided. Storm raging. In your marriage. I mean, this is the real world. Well, don't you know plenty of people dealing with that? Some may be here today. What about in your finances? Literally. You don't know where your next dollar is coming from. I've been there. I know how that is. Storms brewing. Some sick in your body. Some of you may have gone to the doctor this past week and gotten a report that was not good. Storms raging that make you feel like this will kill you. You'll never be able to rise above this storm. What's your answer? the presence of God. Because when he walks in, the storm becomes calm. I've been that way. I can't even remember now the specifics, but there have been two or three times in my life when I've been so overwhelmed with storms raging in my life. And the thing that settled it was when I stopped in his presence. It was almost like convulsing uncontrollably to the point of, everything's going to be fine now. That's the difference his presence can make. So whatever storm you're going through, the presence of God brings calm to take its place. Jesus comes in the midst of a storm. And I'm going to close with sharing the dancing with God that was shared with me this week. I'll never forget it. One thing also that happens in the presence of God is he gives us guidance. Guidance. And this was shared with me. I'm going to keep it forever. I'm going to share it with you. It's a divine romance. It will paint a picture of what our relationship with the Lord Jesus should really be like. It reads like this, guidance. When I meditated on the word guidance, I kept seeing dance at the end of the word. Doing God's will is a lot like dancing. Now we're talking about divine romance now. When two people try to lead, nothing feels right. Their movement doesn't flow with the music and everything is quite uncomfortable. When one person realizes that and lets the other lead, both bodies begin to flow with the music. One gives gentle cues, perhaps with a nudge to the back or by pressing lightly in one direction or another. It's as if two become one body, moving beautifully. The dance takes surrender, willingness, and attentiveness from one person and gentle guidance and skill from the other. My eyes drew back to the word guidance. When I saw G, I thought of God, followed by you and I. Guidance, God, you, and I. Dance. God, you, and I dance. I became willing to let God lead. Dance together with God, trusting God to lead and to guide you through each season of your life. May He have the next dance. Guidance takes place in the presence of God when we enjoy a divine romance. You changed my mourning into dancing, Psalm 30:11. The Spirit of God, your dance partner in life, is asking, may I have the next dance? Guidance by the Spirit of God, we find it in His presence. God, you and I dance. We have to be the person to let Him lead. He gives us gentle cues, and it's as if we become one body. We surrender and become willing and attentive to Him as He offers gentle guidance and skill to live life well, dancing together with God. God, you and I dance. Isn't that wonderful? How romantic is that? Look, if you don't have a sense of romance in your spiritual relationship with God, it's available for you. It's available. And don't let October end. This is the last Sunday of our October challenge. It's not been about what goes on in here. We're breaking that pattern. We come in here to worship God, to hear from God, but then we cannot live the rest of our life leaving on Sunday with a mindset, well, I'll see you again, God, in 7 days. Oh, that's not the divine romance He has planned for us. He wants to dance with us through life every day. And so this month has not been about what we do in here together. this month has been independent, each of us pressing into God, finding a closer place in the Lord, drawing closer to Him. Me alone with God, you alone with God. Hopefully, it has changed our lives.